You are listening to Forged Among Stars, a solo RPG actual play podcast presented by DiceGeeks.com. Welcome. My name is Matt Davids. I will be your game master and only player during this season of Forged Among Stars. I am a tabletop RPG writer, game designer, as well as a novelist. I thank you so much for joining me as I play through Ironsworn Starforged, a tabletop RPG designed by Sean Tompkin. If you would like to learn more about me or the game, please check for links in the description wherever you are listening to this podcast. Now, it is time to journey among the stars. First, a little cleanup issue here. You are probably getting tired of me making mistakes, but I don't know if this was a mistake or not. Just after Hawking looked at some of those data chips that he found in the precursor vault, I have decided to go ahead and mark another tick on his background vow. So he has two ticks on his background vow. I don't think that's too ridiculous, seeing as how this looks like it's going to take like 12 years for me to finish his background vow, probably longer than I could ever go in this podcast, just because of old age or something like that. I don't know. But seeing as how it's going to take a while on his background vow, I didn't think that that was too big of a stretch for me just to mark one more tick there. So we pick up our hero. Echo has been left at the controls of the Shard of the Sun. Hawking Duval, diplomat, Tomb Raider, has now run to the back of the ship, to the airlock that is struggling to match up with the shuttlecraft that is falling back into the atmosphere of Thule. Eight people have their lives in jeopardy, and Hawking Duval has sworn an oath to save them. I've went ahead and marked two progress on that vow because it is dangerous, and I think getting the shuttlecraft into position there is a milestone. Now, Hawking Duval gets to the airlock. What I'm going to say is it's like a tube, and when he goes inside, I'm going to say that like the gravity changes, right? So that he's walking normally on what we would consider the floor of the Shard of the Sun, but he comes to a tube and he crawls like horizontally into it, but then the gravity changes, so it feels like he is climbing up a ladder. I don't know why exactly I'm throwing that in. I just always love the idea of changing gravity fields in certain areas. I thought that was so cool. So that is what he does there. And now he has to lock the airlock into position, and I think this is going to be face danger yet again. And I'm kind of imagining this connection being a manual one. I don't know why exactly. It's just, it seems kind of cool to do that. And so he gets to it, and it's like this, you know, this old-timey looking bar kind of wheel that he has to spin and to lock into place to extend some little connectors, maybe kind of like the thing that Leia was working on in the Millennium Falcon during Empire Strikes Back when Han came in and they shared their moment. It's just two handles and it rotates and you've just got to jam it over, but you have to do it right. The ship has got to be there and he has got to use all of his strength to maybe overcome just like the ship's being just a little bit out of place, right? Like if you dock with a station, like when he docked with Paragon Station, it just kind of fit into the clamps really well. But now, coming up against the shuttlecraft here, with both of them moving, say they're off a little bit, and he's got to slam this connector to really grab onto the shuttlecraft. So we are going to roll face danger with strength. And now that is iron, which is like one of his lowest stats. He only has a 2 iron. But it says strength, endurance, or aggressiveness. So I think Hawking Duval is going to do something special here. Hawking runs to the tube and starts to crawl into it, but then he is climbing and he gets to the top. And here is this wheel or little like yoke that he has to slam. He kind of braces himself, puts his hands on it. He puts his knee against one side of the tunnel or tube. And he says in his mind, "Monarch, people are in danger. I need to be able to do this." And a little voice answers and says, "I understand. Go." And Hawking Duval feels this burst of power mechanically. That is a +2 to the roll, so he will be rolling iron +2. So he'll have a total +4 on this face danger. And Hawking Duval slams the connector wheel over, and hopefully it catches onto the shuttlecraft. And I've gone and rolled a miss. And in this situation, this would be very bad. And it would kind of prolong this little adventure. So my highest challenge die is an 8. I have 9 momentum, so I am going to burn my momentum to turn this miss into a strong hit. My momentum will reset, and I get +1 momentum, so I will end up with 3. So what this looks like in the game is that Hawking Duval just slams this little wheel and or yoke, I should say, with the thing with handles that turns, whatever those things are called. I'm being very specific today. I'm sorry. And so he just slams it, and the clamps for the airlock lock onto the shuttlecraft. And then Hawking Duval flips a series of switches, and the two craft are joined, and then he is able to flip another series of switches, and he opens the hatch between his ship and the shuttlecraft. Now, there isn't room in the tube for two people to pass next to each other, so Hawking Duval pushes himself through the doorway and the small airlock, and he... Let's say the gravity changes again and he kind of just drops down into the shuttlecraft, and he is quickly surrounded by several people. Of course, the pilot and the co-pilot are still operating the controls. Someone's trying to get the engines going, but let's just say 5 other people then gather around him and are like, "Who are you? What's going on?" And he's just like, "Everyone stay calm. I'm here to help you. If you can't get these engines going, we have to abandon this craft right now. I want everybody to start heading through back to my ship." Several of the people nod at each other and in agreement. But Hawking Duval, you know, this is a chaotic situation and they don't know him. He is a stranger. So I'm going to roll compel on these people. Now, hopefully things don't go squirrely here. But it does seem like a compel move. So that's what I'm going to do. And of course, Hawking Duval is going to use heart. So he appeals to them and says, "Let's get moving. We have to get you off the shuttlecraft. Head over to my ship." And we rolled a weak hit. So for some reason, there is a complication here. And so what happens is this. As Hawking Duval makes his appeal, someone in the group speaks up and says, "Yes, yes, we'll head over to your ship, but we have to save the data that we collected. This shuttle can't be destroyed and that data lost. We have to save it." So Hawking Duval kind of rolls his eyes, looks around at the faces of the people who nod in agreement, and he says, "Okay, fine, let's get the data, but some of you have to get off this ship." There's kind of a little conversation between a few of them, and several of the people start climbing through to the Shard of the Sun. Now, I'm going to mark this as a milestone and give myself a little progress here because he's at least saved two or three people from the shuttlecraft. Now he has to help them retrieve their data from the planet. And why is this data so important? But maybe we'll find out later on. But so I'm going to mark progress. This is dangerous, so I get two boxes. And then we're going to have to get the rest of these people off of this shuttlecraft. Okay, so what we'll say here is that it was three people that crossed over to the Shard of the Sun. So three of the shuttlecraft's crew have been saved. They have gone across. The pilot and the co-pilot are still working the controls. There's another person who is kind of feverishly working on the engine. And then there are two people left with Hawking Duval as they are standing kind of in this main compartment area where you can kind of see into the cockpit, but you can also see back towards where the person is working on the engines. And then let's just say kind of off to the sides, there would be doorways to some storage compartments or a large cargo hold of some kind so the shuttlecraft can transport or ferry even larger items or more people if that were the case. But also on some walls, there are computer consoles and chairs and workstations. And Hawking looks at the two people who have stayed behind, marveling. And he says, okay, where's the data? What do we need to do? And one of the people says, here, the console. And they go over to the console. And I'm going to say the other person grabs a removable storage device. And again, keeping with the retro future, say it's big, bulky, and it has one side kind of maybe looks like an old Nintendo game cartridge. And you just like slide it into a slot and can download data. So this other person slides that in. And then the first person who's been speaking to Hawking sits down and starts typing. And they're like, we're transmitting the data now. And he's like, there is not time for this. You need to get off of this ship. And the person looks back and says, no, the data is too important. It'll be done in just a few more seconds. Hawking kind of doubts that, and he looks down at the screen, and he knows it's going to take minutes, not seconds. And so he looks at them, the two people that he's been speaking with, and says, all right, if that's all the data you need, then you two head to my ship. When the transfer's done, I will pull the data cartridge and join you. They both look at each other, and then they look to Hawking, and they agree. And so those two people head over to the airlock tube and cross over to the Shard of the Sun. And I am going to mark progress because now we have saved five people from the shuttlecraft, although we have a very, very long way to go. This will give us six boxes of progress. Hawking then looks towards the cockpit, sees the pilot and the co-pilot working controls. Then he looks back down through the kind of like a tunnel-ish thing, and he sees the engineer down there working like crazy on this engine that is just not working any longer. Hawking turns towards the cockpit and says, that's enough! Get out! Go, go, go! The pilot and the co-pilot get up and run back to where Hawking is. They quickly say thank you and then climb up through the airlock. Then Hawking looks to the engineer and he yells again, come on, get out of here. The engineer looks back and they're kind of torn, right? This is their ship. This is what they've worked on for a long time, maybe. And they thought they could do it, but they are struggling to get these engines and they are just not working. What does this person do? Should I roll compel again? It seems kind of cheap rolling the same thing over and over again, doesn't it? I don't know. I guess this is just how this game works, although hopefully I'm getting a better feel of it. So hopefully I'm not playing this game wrong, guys. Hopefully I'm giving you a great story. So I'm just going to roll compel again, although it seems pretty likely that he would or she would run out of here. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to roll compel again. Okay, I got a weak hit. That means there's a complication. So the person looks back, sees Hawking, gives a thumbs up, and then yells, okay, just give me a few more seconds. Hawking looks back at the screen where the data is transferring. And I'm going to say the readouts in this world are the green, the old style green monitors, kind of from like the original Alien or Aliens movies or the original Battlestar Galactica, right? It's just kind of like a green display and all the graphics are green. And so there's just like a green box around there and there is a progress bar and it is moving very, very slowly as it is transferring data to this data cartridge. Hawking looks up and looks to the engineer and says, "A few seconds and that's it. Go, go, go." The engineer nods and turns back to some controls and works some buttons and switches and has, you know, panels torn off and like rewires a few things and then abandons that and runs up to Hawking, kind of nods to him and says, "Okay, I'm going." And then climbs up through the airlock. I think I'm going to go ahead and mark progress again, and that will put us to 8. And Hawking turns back to the screen, watching the data transfer. And the seconds seem like hours almost. And then his comm crackles, and it's Echo's voice. And she says,
"Hawking, you've got to come. You've got to get out of there. The atmosphere is shearing us. We're going to break apart."
Hawking grabs his communicator pad device. And he flips a switch. "I understand, Echo. Don't worry about me. I'll be back in just a few seconds. If the shuttle and the ship break apart, you just go and save yourselves." And Echo is like,
"No, Hawking, come on. Come on now. I won't leave you."
He's like, "No, no, no. Listen, just a few more seconds. I'll be back on. Just hold it." Hawking looks back to the screen. The data transfer finishes. He grabs the cartridge, hits an eject button, pops it out, and then dives through the airlock. And then once he is through, he again hits that yoke and spins it in the opposite direction. The airlock door closes and the connection breaks. And he speaks into his communicator. "Break off, Echo, break off. I'm in, I'm in." There's no reply, but Hawking can feel the ship move. He knows that Echo has heard him, and the ship is now heading up out of the atmosphere and towards Lodestar. Okay, so I'm going to mark progress. That'll give us 10 out of 10, and we are going to roll to fulfill this vow. Okay, so rolling against a 10 on the progress track, I got a strong hit to fulfill the vow. This means I get 2 ticks on my legacy quests because it was a dangerous rank for the vow of saving the shuttlecraft passengers. This means I will now have another full box on my quest's legacy track. So I will get 2 more experience points. So I am up to 10 experience points that I need to spend. So this is absolutely incredible. So how I imagine this is that Hawking comes back down through the tube into kind of the main area of his ship, the Shard of the Sun, and the shuttlecraft crew are all standing there, and he holds up the data cartridge, and one of the people take it, and they say, "Thank you. That was incredible." He smiles a little bit and says, "Just a day's work." All right, so from here, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of speed things up a little bit. What happens from here is that the Shard of the Sun docks with Lodestar, the orbital platform, and the shuttlecraft crew get off of the Shard of the Sun, and Hawking and Echo are met by other members of the staff and crew of Lodestar. Remember, there's only dozens of people that live here, so they all know each other. They all work together. They're probably, you know, some of them are family members and things like that. So they greet everyone, and Echo and Hawking are welcomed on board the station, and they are treated very well, and they are thanked profusely by everyone for saving the lives of their colleagues, friends, and family. I'm also going to say that, like, Lodestar has kind of a lumbering craft that can recover the shuttlecraft, but the problem was is that it took too long to launch, and then by the time it gets to the shuttlecraft, the interior temperature would be like too hot for human life. So they're able to recover their shuttlecraft, and they'll have to do like extensive repairs on it, but they just weren't able to save the people. And so Hawking Duval and Echo Carr, aka Dancer, have now been welcomed aboard Lodestar. So what we are going to do here is I'm going to roll Sojourn because they are recovering in a welcoming community, and I want to see if I can bump up supply and spirit. Okay, so yeah, I rolled a miss on Sojourn. I don't have enough momentum to change it, so there we are. So what this says in the rules is that the community asks us for help, and it will be costly. But Hawking Duval does not shy away from quests and problems. He faces them with courage and resolve. So the rules also say, if I do it or I swear an iron vow, that we will resolve the Sojourn as a strong hit. And so that's what I'm going to do. Hawking Duval is going to swear an iron vow to accomplish what the people of Lodestar are asking him to do. I don't know exactly what that is just yet, but he is going to do that and swear a vow. But we're going to resolve some of the Sojourn benefits here really quickly. So I have decided to hearten, and that will move Hawking from 3 to 5. And then I have chosen to resupply, which will move supply from 3 to 5. His health is still at a 4, but we can handle all of that in due time. So what I'm also going to say here is that we have a lot of experience to spend. We have 10 experience points, which kind of blows my mind. So we're going to spend these here, and we're just going to say that this is their repayment for the help of rescuing these people. And because I always think it's a little weird to have a person or a group in a role-playing game just all of a sudden gain like all kinds of equipment or all kinds of power. But this makes perfect sense that they are at Lodestar and they're just going to be re-equipped because they just saved 8 lives. There's only dozens of people who live here. They have saved, you know, a good portion of the population. They've saved people's husbands, wives, best friends, colleagues, and so, you know, sons and daughters or whatever, brothers and sisters. They've saved, you know, their close friends and family. And so they're just going to re-equip them. And we were able to hearten and resupply. And now we are going to buy some things. Actually, I just had an idea, and we're going to swear that iron vow first, because I think what the people here at Lodestar want Hawking to do is to help them recover something from the surface of the planet Thule, and that something is a relic from the Precursors. And so Hawking is going to use his lore hunter ability here when he swears this iron vow, so he gets to reroll any dice and try to make this a strong hit if possible. So Hawking Duval swears an iron vow to recover an artifact from the surface of Thule. Now, we haven't rolled it up yet, but I'm also going to say he shares a connection here because we have made some contacts on Lodestar, and we will roll them up soon as well. But first, we're going to roll this iron vow. Okay, well, we got a strong hit, so that means we get +2 momentum and know exactly what to do next. So while Hawking is talking to some of the officials at Lodestar, He goes ahead and takes his token, and he says, "I swear upon the peace of the ship that brought our ancestors to the forge, I swear I will help you recover this relic from the planet Thule." And so he has sworn this iron vow. And then I'm going to say, you know, he comes on board the Shard of the Sun, and he, you know, he has kind of mixed feelings, but he is excited to get a chance to go after a relic on the planet, even though he wasn't anticipating this. And he comes on board, and Echo is there kind of doing something, and he starts to fill her in. He says, you know, they've been here now a few days or maybe even a week, and well, maybe this is the, well, maybe not. Maybe this is just the first few days or the first few hours they've been here, because we are going to sojourn, and then there's going to be some other things that happen. So in fiction, it happens like this. Echo, let's say, was moving some things around on the ship, and Hawking walks in, and she's like, oh, how did the meeting go with the officials here at Lodestar? He says, well, it could have been better, but they've allowed us to stay here, and we're going to resupply for free. We're also going to be able to re-equip the ship, but they want our help. They want us to go to the planet's surface and help them retrieve a relic. So Echo kind of nods and says, I see. And then Hawking kind of stops and he says, well, of course, they want me to do that. You don't have to do that. You're free to go. If you want to leave now, you can. Supply ships come in every few weeks. You could get a ride to another settlement. He kind of looks just forlornly a little bit at Echo as he's trying to not let his emotions get the better of him here, because he would like her to stay, and he thinks they've been working well together as a team, and he enjoys her company, and he is starting to have some feelings for her, even though they have only known each other for a little less than a month at this point. But Echo sees the look on his face, kind of looks down and looks back, and then says, yeah, the supply ships should be through, and I could catch a ride to another settlement, or I could stay here. And Hawking just kind of starts to walk away, and she calls out, Hawking. And he turns, and she says, how hard do you think it will be for us to get that relic? Hawking smiles. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Forged Among Stars. Please consider subscribing to the podcast wherever you are listening to it so you never miss an episode. Another episode will be out soon, but until then, I will see you among the stars.